everybody, it's me, the J-Strom, here from the Pop Culture District of Mulberry. Well, actually, not so much. I'm actually en route right now to CTU. Yes, that's right. Counterterrorism Unit, I believe. They have a little job opening for a custodian, so I thought I'd dabble in custodial arts. I got my red shirt. I'll be sweeping up after Jack Bauer, Chloe O'Brien, Morris, Bill Buchanan, and that kind of thing. I don't know what I'm talking about. Hey, everyone, welcome. This is the Nowhere on Mulberry 24 Day 5 DVD Companion. Now, with 24, Day 5 is actually Season 5, which was last season of 24. It was probably my favorite season of 24 ever. I just thought it was fun, ridiculous, entertaining. It was a great season. And on Mulberry, we covered every single episode of that season. Well, pretty much. Some we just kind of grouped together. So what this is here is this is a compilation of every single 24 segment we did for season 5 of 24. And I put it together here for you, the listener. Here's why we put this together. Many times people say, love the show, Jason. Great. Skip over the 24 segment. Love it. Skip over Lost. Love it. Skip over Battlestar Galactica. So many people are listening to the show, which I think is fantastic. I love it. But they're skipping over things we do every week, such as 24. Now, the real reason I'm putting this together is I have a buddy who loves 24 as much as I, except he waits till the DVD comes out. And you know who I'm talking about. You know who you are. Andy. Andy Sims from the Hollywood Saloon. He doesn't watch a single episode of 24 during the regular season. He waits till DVD, which is fine, except every week he misses our 24 segment. So what I've done here, I'm not going to expect him to go back and try to find all those 24 segments. What I did is I compiled them all together for him to now listen to. So I'm dedicating this Nowhere in Mulberry Season 5, Day 5, 24 DVD Companion to Andy of the Hollywood Saloon. Andy, this is for you, bud. I hope you enjoy it. And to everyone else, if you enjoy this, send me some feedback. Let me know if you like the idea of a DVD companion. Maybe we'll do one for Heroes. Maybe to Friday Night Lights. Maybe this season of Lost. Well, I'm almost here to CTU. I'm all gussied up for my interview. Maybe they need a CTU podcaster. That would be awesome. I'd love to do podcasting with Chloe or something like that. We could reroute the subsystems together. All right, guys, I'm out. I hope you enjoy it. This is the Nowhere in Mulberry 24 Day 5 DVD Companion. Hopefully you've watched Season 5 or you've watched it on DVD. If you have, feel free to listen. If you've never seen 24, don't even bother because you won't know what we're talking about. I hope you enjoyed, everybody. Roll it, Foggy. Now, I'm going to tell you about a show I'm really excited about, and that's 24 with Kiefer Sutherland. I watched a preview to this, Kiefer? And it looks very excited. Yes, I said Kiefer Sutherland. And basically, they've really changed up the show. He's no longer an agent at CTU, and hell, I'm just going to play a preview.
He's on the loose.
This is awesome. You guys ready for this? Get ready.
Let's go.
Get ready.
Where the hell is my chiffon?
That flaming Jack Bauer. All right, here we go.
Jack? Jack?
Zombies? Jack's a zombie?
Hello.
Hello.
How'd you get this number?
Hey, it's Edna! Whoa! What the hell's going on?
Citizens of the United States.
DOD is receiving a localized broadcast from the airport.
Spencer, put it on the screen.
Oh, my God.
Jack, I know this isn't protocol. Please don't hang up on me. I need your help.
I want you to wait for me there.
CTU is a suspect.
It's Jack Bauer, sir.
This whole thing is impossible. Bill, you were there when Jack was shot. He had no pulse, no vitals.
He's a zombie!
Jack Bauer is now the prime suspect and should be considered extremely dangerous.
He's wearing a Flash Gordon shirt.
That's Mick McCart.
Chloe, are you okay?
What's happening?
There's something else going on here and we're missing it.
It's all connected.
I want this handled.
Who are you?
Someone who's not supposed to still be alive.
I don't care what it takes. Fix it.
You're going to tell us what you've been doing here, and you're going to tell us now.
It's good news.
Who did you kill?
I didn't tell anybody.
We're not going to make it. Get out.
Kiefer Sutherland returns in the most explosive and critically acclaimed show on television.
Jack Bauer, there is no way out. Step into view with your hands in the air.
Whatever you were doing is over.
I'll see you in hell.
24, the two-night premiere event begins Sunday, January 15th on Fox.
That's the tagline for 24 this year. 24, where the hell is my chiffon?
It would have been better if he said, step out where I can see you, bitches. Yeah, I think that would have been more catchy.
I was bedraggled.
I didn't understand what that meant, but...
Yeah.
Moving on. So apparently they're changing up 24 this year. Jack Bauer is now a member of the Undead. He's a zombie, but he still packs a lot of firepower. You know, I'm waiting to check that out. Sounds like it'd be pretty cool. And Edna's in it. We all love Edna.
Yeah.
Poor Edna. But there is a return of a new show this week, and let's check that out. All right, and that's 24, in case you don't know what the music is. Thanks, Foggy. Now, did you guys all check out 24? I hope somebody did, besides me.
Of course.
Because basically it was 4 hours of 24. It's a lot to kind of go through. Okay, the way last season ended was Jack faked his death, and now he's like the Incredible Hulk or, you know, Bruce Banner, and he walks around
you
with a backpack.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
And you see that he's living in a house, rented out a room with a single mom and her annoying son, who
with
has
long,
the
faggy hair.
Yeah, he has the faggy hair in his face, and he's like, I won't drink out of orange juice carton without a glass.
Where's my jean jacket?
Yeah. It's stonewashed, you bastard.
I don't wash my hair.
Yeah, I haven't washed my hair in months because I'm cool and I'm going to the mall after this.
I need to go listen to some emo.
Yeah. So basically what happens is, you know what? Let's play a clip. I was very happy to see David Palmer was back on the show.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then let's get back to work. One more chapter and we'll take a break.
Don't drink Jobu's rum.
Chapter 6. There's going to be a lot of questions about your relationship with Sherry.
All right, and Dave Palmer's dead, so he didn't last long on the show this season.
But he had
so
insurance
shot through the throat! You're too late.
Did you notice that on the clip is right when he gets shot, he goes, it's going to deal with your past with Sherry, and right there, you know, right through the throat. Anyway, he's dead, and it turns out they're hunting all the people down who knew that Jack faked his death. Like, they kill Michelle Dessler within seconds. And
no big loss there.
And the Tony gets engulfed in flames as he's holding her dead body crying. And then he's in a coma and he's not burnt. Okay, well, anyway, let's move on.
Well, as long as the soul patch survived.
Yeah. And anyway, Chloe does... Yes, soul patch. Chloe does survive and she calls Jack for help. And one thing that I love about 24... Don't get me wrong. I love this show. I think
everyone loves it.
It's so entertaining.
Crazy.
The electronic mumbo jumbo is so ridiculous on the show that I laugh. Like, there's a part where Jackson, he takes pictures of terrorists with his cell phone, and I swear it like has a zoom feature, and he sends like all 20 photos, and he goes, "All right, I just sent you the photos."
Yeah, it's and
like,
the clarity on them are hilarious.
It's like high definition,
like a 20 megapixel camera phone.
I took this with my 16:9 high definition camera phone. You'll get it right now. I've got a perfect signal. The satellite
sends right over.
Even though I'm in an event.
Yeah, and Chloe's like, okay, well, let me just reroute that through the subsystems, and there you go. Oh, he's like, wow, cool. Hey, can I have a sandwich? You know, like just forms Earl Grey tea hot, and he's got it right there.
Comes
but,
right out of, this,
but
out of the screen.
That's what I love about this show. Now, I think this happens every season, is Jack Bauer is framed for something, and he's framed for David Palmer's death. Here's another clip.
killed my brother.
Killed my brother.
Prepare to die.
Why you killed my teacher?
Whatever accusation you against me has been fabricated.
My name is Antonio Montaño.
For years, I would have killed my life for his.
When is somebody going to say, we always think Jack killed somebody, but he never did? Let's just go with the benefit of the doubt and say he's being framed again for the fifth season in a row.
How he was assessed. It's going to turn into like a Different Strokes kind of thing.
But within, basically within, I think this is the first night, they figure out he didn't kill President Palmer, former President Palmer.
No, it's not President Palmer. It's Pedro Serrano of the Cleveland Indians.
Yeah, he does kind of. He's the Allstate guy. But anyway, there's this weird subplot. The new president is such a freaking tool. He's kind
of. Oh, my God. They got this guy acting like people would think George Bush is acting.
Kind of a cross between.
So blatant.
Maybe like, I was thinking Nixon too, just his jowls. Like Nixon jowls.
I would think like an Al Gore Bush mix. The worst of two worlds.
But there's a whole subplot with his insane wife. And she basically, when she finds out President Palmer died, she's really sad. And she remembers that she had this phone call where he wanted to tell her something very important.
And then she calls her other designing women, and they team up. And,
Delta Burke shows up with some nunchucks. But anyway, what ends up happening is Derek tags along with Jack, and I was like, did you guys all go, no, not another brat this season to follow Jack around everywhere?
Of a mountain lion.
But he rescues him and everything, and the mom is reunited, and they're driving home, and they're out of the show, and all of a sudden he's like, hey, there's some terrorists coming out of a van. I'm going to hop out of the car in the middle of traffic and run after him to warn Jack. And then you find out, of course, Derek's been taken hostage. Here's another clip.
Mr. Bauer! Derek has 5 seconds left to live.
Uh-oh, that's a...
Four, three...
Koresh!
Koresh? David Koresh?
Praise Jesus!
Lowering my weapon.
But were you guys like, the old Jack would never give up his position. He would have said, hey, they're going to kill him anyway.
Yeah, he's a sentimental tart.
So anyway,
kid.
Jack gets taken hostage. But before that scene, I forgot about this. There's a part where Chloe says they all the terrorists have bombs on them, remote bombs where they could blow themselves up. She goes, I rerouted the subsystems. And I got the frequency going to your cell phone where you can explode them if you want. And he's like, okay, I'm going to check it out. I'll try it on that guy. And he goes, dude, boom, the guy blows up. And he's like, this is awesome.
But yeah, that would rule.
It might not have happened exactly that way, but it's something like that. But I was like, come on, man, with a cell phone, he can do anything. Give me a break.
I got to find somebody who can frack with power.
Oh, and then all of a sudden, Samwise Gamgee shows up. Mr. Frodo. Freaking the kid from Goonies. Shows up.
Sean Astin.
And he's got Data with his slick shoes behind him. But...
Yeah, can anyone say, okay, bad casting?
It's funny because the guy who's the head of CTU is like this old white-haired guy, and all of a sudden this punk-ass kid comes in, and he's like, hey, I'm taking over. And he's like, hey, I don't really like this. And there's even a part where he goes,
I've got 500 IQ.
What does he say? Refer to me as Mr. Somebody. He's like, I'd prefer not to do that.
Mr. Gamgee.
Mr. Gamgee to you, sir. Back in the Shire, I got all sorts of respect. Yeah, we are the Lollipop Guild. The Lollipop Guild. Okay, anyway. The second night, they're going to go in. They're going to bust into the airport, and it turns out it's riddled with zombies. Let's check this out.
Kill them all.
I thought this was a neat twist, that they were all the undead.
Yeah.
I love that part.
Anything undead is good in my book.
Ah, such mayhem.
I especially like when Jack Bauer got the hatchet and just started heads off.
He's just like, we got to handle Jack. No, and he whips out like a fork and a knife and he's popping out eyeballs. It's awesome.
And then Rick and Lori show up.
Now, what I think is funny about this is that every season of 24 is one day. Last season 4, was one day. each episode, Jack kills about 10 people. So at the end of one day, he's a mass homicidal murderer, isn't he?
He's killed. We need to start keeping a body count ticker on the website.
I think right now, if I may have to revise this next week, but I think he's killed about 8 people. But I will keep track of this because it was he did kill the bomb guy in this one.
But we need to keep track of the methods used.
Right. The remote bomb with the cell phone was one of the coolest I've seen.
That's an instant classic.
And let's also count how many times Chloe says she's rerouted the subsystems.
Yeah, that or pouts.
Jack, I've rerouted the subsystems again for the 10th time today.
How many times can you reroute that?
Hey, can I just say that I love Chloe as a character because she's such a bitch to everyone. She's so rude to everybody.
Well, she's got that face, that like pug-looking face that you just want to slap. And we also need to keep track of how many times her and Edgar say something ridiculous back and forth to one another. Or
there's also the return of Jack's girl from last season. The horse face girl.
Kim Raver.
Yeah.
Boom, 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 boom.
Were you doing rave music? It took me a second to get that, but awesome. I've lost track of it. But anyway, 24 is awesome. It turns out Detective Nicholas Knight from the cool cop show or Vampire Cop is the bad guy. So we'll see where that goes. Did anyone else watch Nick Knight when it was on CBS?
I don't even know what that is.
I remember that.
No.
Yeah.
He's like a vampire cop.
Yeah, it was.
What, is he like a white blade with no superpowers?
It came on, what, like Saturday night?
It was on like Thursday nights at 11 or something. And
at 11?
He's just
preempted the news?
He's a detective who works the night shift, and no one knows that he's a vampire, and he doesn't drink blood from people. He goes to a blood bank and drink blood like a drink, like a fine wine. It's really bad, but
he's like our favorite
terrific vintage.
Yeah, but I did watch it all the time, and he's the bad guy. But one thing we've all learned from 24, the first 10 episodes and then the second 10 don't even resemble each other anymore. Because at the end of this, the badger from Firefly, he's in the airport, he's a mole, and he apparently knows where some sarin gas is under the airport, so we'll figure out what's going on there.
Yeah, and why would you store sarin gas underneath an airport under about, what was that, like 2 feet of concrete?
And just
it's a sarin gas crypt.
Yeah, and somebody put it there years ago. Let's talk about 24. All right, at the end of the last episode, Jack kills the zombies in the airport. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah,
I think you're watching a different episode than me.
And Jack shows up to CTU, and of course, immediately, Samwise tells him, hey, we don't think you killed anybody. Everything's good. You know,
you're still a great agent.
Feel free to make a sandwich in the kitchen. You know, you're welcome to. What does he get him? Security level pass 2 or something? He's like, all right. So Jack is back at CTU. And meanwhile, Chloe, I don't think we mentioned this. In the first episode, Chloe had just gotten out of bed. She had sex with a coworker. Do you guys remember that?
I'm trying to forget. Face during sex too.
Right. I don't remember the guy's name. I'm sure she pouts.
She doesn't either.
Say cold fish.
Now what happens is it turns out this guy is a mole. What I love about this season so far is they've already done certain storylines that they stretched out forever in previous season, like Jack is framed. They got rid of that in one episode. Introduced it, got rid of it. And this one, they introduced the mole. Introduced it, got rid of it in the same episode. Don't you guys like that they're doing this? They're kind of playing with the audience of stuff they've already done.
faster.
Yes, they are.
They're not dwelling on one topic for more than an episode.
Right, and that's what always drove me nuts. And it has happened almost every season where Jack is framed and the cops are after him. You guys remember last season where he held up the liquor store to distract?
Yes.
Oh, God, that was so funny.
That lasted like two episodes.
Yeah, it was like, when are they going to get Jack out of his liquor store? We don't care. Get him out of the liquor store.
Wasn't it? It was a gun store, wasn't it? With the two Iraqi
it was a convenience
kids?
Store.
It was
a
7-Eleven. The terrorist goes in there, and he needs to keep the terrorist there to stall him. So he decides to rob the store to keep him there. He holds it up and gets all the money out of the cash register, and he's got a ski mask. That
lasted way too long.
That was genius. So what happens in this is... I can't remember the guy's name. I should take notes, but hey, I don't. So Chloe lets Andrew, is that his name? The mole lets a professional inside, a cleaner, as they call him in the business, Steve, and I know all about that.
I told you. No, I can't tell you.
But what's great is they tell Jack that Tony's awake. You need to go downstairs and talk to him. So he goes down there. And it turns out it's the hitman posing as the doctor.
And the way he discovers it was just classic bad 24 great writing.
Where he looks in the monitor and sees the reflection of him pulling the gun.
like any true hitman assassin would let that happen.
Wouldn't,
I know.
Like, he would have just walked in and goes, I'm Jack Bauer. Show's over. But the hitman has a whole routine plan. He even says, remember, don't talk, let him talk very much. He's really out of it or whatever. You know, he's like, oh,
he's trying to get him to lean over close to listen.
But I love that. The reflection, the gun pulled out. I think that's like James Bond always sees a reflection.
It's classic 24.
But the cool part about that, of course, what always happens is he kicks the assassin's ass and then jams scissors right into his jaw, like into his neck. But
and
I love it.
Gives it that second push.
Yeah, he stabs him in the throat, and then he goes, jam, like, oh!
Take that!
That was awesome, wasn't it?
Great.
That was one of those moments that I love Jack Bauer. I love, he kills people all the time.
Again, another classic 24 moment that just makes you go, oh, yeah.
Yes, a scissor death, which we all need more scissor deaths on TV.
Surgical scissor death.
Yeah, surgical.
Those things are ultra sharp.
And I guess Tony was never awake in the first place. He just did that to get him down here. Oh, you mean Tony's not even awake? Oh.
Can't even talk to Tony, my bud.
So anyway, of course, Jack is pissed off. And he goes upstairs to talk to the mole, and he's like, look at this. This is the result of what you've done. Who are you working for? And he says he's working for that guy, Walt Cummins, who works with the president. Is he like the president's assistant? Who is that guy? The chief of staff?
Chief of staff.
Yeah. Right. And he's like, I'm working for the president, and I was supposed to keep tabs on CTU. And they're like, dun-dun, and here's basically what happened.
Walt Cummins killed David Palmer. He tried to have me killed.
Even if it's true, we have to build a case before we call the president.
We don't call the president. He's here in California. We go see him now.
Cummings is the president's chief of staff, Jack, and his friend. Without any hard evidence, CTU can't touch him.
I'm not CTU. I'll go get Walt Cummings myself.
Oh, hell yes. I'm excited about that.
I'll go get that jackass myself.
I liked the scene from next week where the helicopters show up. He's like, who'd you call?
Yeah.
Like, I
didn't call anybody.
I don't know who the hell I called.
I called
Yellow Pages.
Johnny Helicopter, taking you anywhere you want to go.
They're taking you on a tour of the Grand Canyon.
So anyway, 24 is an entertaining show, and we'll keep track of it as it goes along. All right, guys, let's talk about a great show, and that's 24. All right, 24 this week. Last week, we found out that Walt Cummings was a bad guy. There's this great scene where he tells the president, did you guys see this coming where Walt would go ahead and just tell the president, okay, I'm working with the bad guys, but here's what
I thought he would weasel his way out.
Yeah, but he says, okay, I am working for this guy, and we're going to let them take the sarin gas, or I can't even remember.
No, some nerve gas.
Yeah, they're going to take the nerve gas, and they think they're going to use it on Russia, but we're going to wait till they have it in their hideout or whatever, and then we're going to set it off, and they'll all die.
I think the gas was herpes simplex 12.
Right.
Nerve gas.
So, but what the Walt doesn't realize is that Badger from Firefly has figured out what's going on, and he's killed his man inside, and now he's planning on using it on the U.S., to kind of show them, hey, that's what you get for meddling.
Yeah, but, I like Badger's English-Russian accent.
Yeah. But here's what happens. When he tells the president about this, he goes, you will be implicated in this. And he's like, why did you do this? And he's like, easily, we could... Now, once they have the gas, we can say, hey, look, here's the weapons of mass destruction we've been looking for. And I thought his plan was quite devious.
Yes.
You think?
He's so, got gas.
He actually talks the president into kind of semi-believing it, that he has no... his hands are tied, so he decides, okay, tell CTU to back off, and here's what happens.
We're no longer running point on the search for the canisters. We've been ordered off by division.
Why?
The White House wants to use their own people to coordinate from now on.
That doesn't make sense. We'll waste hours getting another agency up to speed.
Yeah, I know.
It's yes, we'll have to reroute the subsystems.
What about Mike Novick? Jack should be with him by now.
Novick's people seems to reach where Jack Sokol's right to voicemail.
Something's wrong.
Blah, blah, blah. But I don't know what we can do about it.
I do.
What?
Call the Goonies!
Disregard the order.
Disregarding a presidential order.
If we don't, we will not find this nerve gas.
But we never
Jack
say die.
Have a conversation with Mike Novick as a private citizen is one thing, but I'm not about to start considering disobeying a direct order from the White House.
That's because you don't have the experience to know any better.
Oh, called his ass out.
Damn Hobbit.
Owned.
Step outside for a moment.
I love how he says that. Can we step outside for a moment? And he's like, maybe you don't have the experience, bitch.
Are they all hopped up on methamphetamines while they do this?
No, Jack gets taken into custody, and Aaron kind of listens to Jack. He's like, hey, not everything's up. Walt Cummins is a bad guy. So he decides he's going to free him. So he does. And here's a cool scene where Jack threatens to cut Walt's eyeballs out.
I'm done talking with you. You understand me? You read my file. First thing I'm going to do, I'm going to take out your right eye. I'm going to move over and I'm going to take out your left, and I'm going to cut you. I'm going to keep cutting you until I get the information that I need. You understand me? So for the last time, where is the nerve gas?
I don't know.
I love the music in the scene.
Hold on, wow.
Stop!
Stop! I'll tell you. I'm afraid of leaving the port of Long Beach at 2:30.
Wow, he gave it up pretty easily, didn't he?
Yeah, what a wimp. I would have at least let Jack cut his eye out first.
Yeah.
Would you have lost at least one eye before you gave it up?
You know what I love about the show is I totally, if he would have cut his eyeball out, I wouldn't have been shocked at all. I would have been like, awesome!
What about whenever he went all electricity on the guy last season?
Yeah.
Paul Raines or whatever?
I love Jack. He's a great guy.
Not like getting it with a lamp cord in your chest.
Yeah, and it turns out, okay, you're innocent. Come on. He's like, okay, I forgive you for electrocuting me.
Yeah, let's work together.
Yeah, I won't hold a grudge. So at the very end, I've already mentioned this, but Badger finds out that the U.S. is pulling a screw job on him, and he's now going to use the gas somewhere in L.A., which is always where terrorists strike on this show. Yeah, it's got to be 10 minutes away so Jack can get there, and they don't have to waste a lot of time of Jack driving in a car on the show.
Could you imagine an episode of 24 where he has to fly to Prague in the 10 of the episodes is just him on a plane.
Yeah. It's like, Jack, when are you going to get there?
Be there
soon. What would they do with the show if there weren't cell phones? I mean, everyone has a cell phone at all times on the show. They're always talking on a cell phone. They'd be screwed.
Speaking of cell phones, they should do, like in the new Stephen King novel, send a pulse through the cell phone and turn everyone into zombies.
That would be sweet.
Cell phone zombies.
And Jack is just killing all the zombies. That'd be awesome.
That would rock.
That would.
The samurai sword.
Now, I'll say this much about this episode of 24. I thought it was awesome. I love how Walt gave everything up just like that. There wasn't this big, long mole in the White House thing.
They solved that quick.
I love how each episode delivers a beginning, middle, and end in a way. It's really cool how they're doing this, and I hope it keeps it up.
Yeah, like they're doing like almost like season. Full seasons in one episode.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really digging this stuff, man. And I hope he does cut out someone's eyeball somewhere in the season.
Well, I think they realized that they needed to change the formula.
Right, because everyone expects there to be a mole in CTU every year. But this time they changed it up. The mole didn't know he was a bad guy. He thought he was doing the right thing.
The mole didn't know he was a melanoma.
Right. He didn't know he was cancerous. So, but he was. Exactly.
Exactly.
Oh, and they have the previews to next week. It looks like Jack goes in a room and there's some mysterious figure around the corner, and we'll have to wait till... If it's his daughter, I'll groan. Oh.
No, if it's his daughter, I'll cheer and then pull my pants down and... No, wait, oh, I'm sorry. Wait, wrong. I'm sorry. Wait,
cut
that was a little too much.
Boners go to die.
There's good just Lord, something man. Really, really hot about Alicia Cuthbert.
Yeah,
why don't you beat his ass?
Thank you, Jon Stewart.
Exactly. Did you guys check this week's 24?
Yes, I did.
The end of last week, we find out that Walt Cummins is a bad guy, and Jack threatened to cut out his eyeball. You guys remember that? That was a great scene.
Yes.
Well, this week, it starts out with them really talking Walt Cummins up and asking him, what the hell was he thinking? Let's check it out.
6 months ago, by a man named James Nathanson. He was my contact.
Who is he?
Former CIA. Said he was recruiting like-minded individuals for this initiative.
Initiative? Is that what you call this?
You helped terrorists acquire weaponized nerve gas.
I told you we were going to trigger the canisters once the separatists reached their base in Central Asia. This was not supposed to happen.
But it happened. You got into bed with these people, and now they're threatening
what?
To use
he had
the gas
sex
on
with
American
them?
Citizens.
Oh, you make it sound like our goal was to kill Americans.
You make it sound
what
dirty.
What the hell was your goal, Walt? Explain that to me.
It was love.
It was a little dirty.
It's a new thing.
So basically, Walt Cummings is like a horrible chief of staff.
You
made
think?
A deal with some terrorists, and it's now backfired.
It never works out that way.
And these guys, well, apparently they have the canisters, but they can't get the, the explosive device that sets the canisters off doesn't work. So they get in touch with some old crotchety Russian agent or something. Is that what he was?
Yeah, it was Barry from Resident Evil.
Right, Barry Burton.
Yeah.
Barry? So anyway, they call this guy, and he's telling them, you know, hey, go to a local mechanic, and he'll blowtorch that sucker open or whatever. So they do.
That was the exact dialogue, too.
And don't you hate when the guy's like, just do what I say and we'll let you go. And you just go, dude, it's a terrorist. He's going to freaking kill you.
I know all done. Those men surrounding you. I doubt they're going to let you go.
What I would have done is I would have used the drill bit and just punctured a hole in the gas and killed everybody.
There you go.
You'd be a hero.
And die.
So eventually they do find this bad guy. And it turns out the girl from the previews, like a 15-year-old Russian sex slave or something.
Yeah, yeah, she sold into sex.
And you're like, oh, thank God Jack saved this poor girl. But what it turns out is they need this information from the Barry Burton, the Russian Barry Burton. But he makes a deal. I will not give you what you want unless you give me a pardon and you let me take my sex slave. And they agree to it even though Jack doesn't want to. How crazy was that?
I know.
But
I can't believe he agreed to it, but I guess he had no choice.
The sex slave's name is Vanessa, by the way.
Real.
This is what she had to say about it.
No! 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 Hold your fire! Got a medic in here, now! Vanessa, give me the gun. I know you don't want to hurt anybody else.
Yeah, Vanessa, give him the gun.
Is he gonna make it?
I think her name was Anessa.
No, nah, it's Vanessa. Who cares? It's Anessa? I think it's Vanessa. But anyway, she kills the guy, so now they're screwed. So at the very end of the episode, Badger from Firefly is about to call, and the guy's dead, so what do they do? So we'll have to wait till next week. But you know what? This is another example. This episode, each episode, they kind of almost do something that they've done before, but then they trick it up. Do you know what I'm talking about, Vanessa?
Yeah,
like, there was the year that Nina asked for a pardon, and they had to give it to her. This guy asked for a pardon, but he dies in the same episode. I love it. I can't wait to see what happens the rest of the season.
It keeps you wondering what's going to happen. You can never predict it. That's what I like.
Yeah, they keep playing with us with their old kind of things that have happened.
Yeah, because you remember before, it would be like, okay, this is going to take 2 weeks to figure out what's going on. And
yeah.
They do it within one episode.
Right. boom, and boom goes the dynamite. I mean, that's the way it's been this week. It's been awesome.
Yes, it always goes boom goes the dynamite.
Exactly, Steven.
And yes. Boom goes the dynamite.
All right, let's go on to another show, and that's called 24. Now, on this episode of 24, Jack decides, you know, we know what happened last week where the guy got killed by his Russian slave girl. So Jack has to fill in and be the guy who delivers a chip to the terrorists to help them arm this thing. This is like plot filler, I guess. Like, these terrorists are horrible. They're like, oh, we need a stupid chip to set this off. And so Jack needs to pretend to be the guy. So naturally, they send Jack there, and
but it's like a chip out of his watch or something. It's not the real chip.
No, it's the real chip, and it's going to work. What the idea is for them to give him the chip, and then they'll follow him, and then they'll find the rest of the gas. But what happens is they make him get in the car by gunpoint. You're going to make sure this works with us, and they take him to the local mall, the Galleria, and
Sunset Hills.
They're going to set off the gas in the mall and kill everyone. What happens is the guy at CTU, Lynn, he decides that, you know, maybe we need to let them set this off and kill everyone. It's only like, what, how many people was it? Like 900?
Yeah.
Not that many.
Who cares?
Yeah. But it'll save millions. It'll save thousands to millions if they set off the rest of the gas. So the idea is for him to cooperate, set off the gas, kill everyone in the mall, and then they'll follow them to the canisters and everything will be fine. But this is what happens.
Enter the correct code, Jack. That's an order. Jack, this is a direct order from the president. Now enter the correct code and let them release the gas. Now!
It's not on the canister.
Why isn't it working?
Maybe the remote's been damaged.
Make it work, but I'll kill you.
There's nothing I can do.
Make it work!
I told you there's nothing I can do!
So Jack ignores the order from the President of the United States and does not set it off. The guys do release the gas anyway, but he turns it off in time. And there was another cool kill. So Jack snapped the guy's neck with his feet.
Ouch! Yeah.
How sweet was that?
Solid snake style.
Yeah. So some of the gas got loose, but he did save a lot of people.
Did anyone die from the gas?
They
just got sick had, like, and threw up. And
they 11 were, or 12 people.
They were giving him like the adrenaline shots in the heart and stuff, because Jack saved a little girl and gave her the shot in the heart. Sweet. It was awesome. Jack can do anything.
And you're too late because you give love a bad name.
Exactly.
Sorry.
Shotgun.
So anyway, great episode. And so far, Kim, his daughter, has not shown up. But are you guys getting the feeling she is going to show up sometime soon?
I hope not.
She's going to be bad.
They do get to follow one of the guys who's running. Badger realizes that he's being followed, so he goes, "You know what to do." So the terrorist shoots himself, and they
leave. Is that his voice? "You know what to do."
Yeah, "You know what to do." And he shoots himself, so now they're screwed. And Lynn, Samwise Gamgee, is very pissed at Jack. And it looks like on the previews, whenever I hear these words, "take Bauer into custody," I'm like, oh, no, not again. How often does he get taken into custody on this show?
It's only 24
agent.
Hours.
Can't they? Hopefully this, like every episode this season so far, those little storylines only last a few minutes, which I'm hoping this does. Take him into custody. All right, uncuff him. Okay, you're free to go. It's like, oh, thank God. It looks like he's going to make friends with the Forever Night vampire guy next week, so we'll see what happens. You guys really didn't watch that show, huh, Forever Night?
No.
Great show. But guys, let's visit 24. Now, forgive me, guys, if I morph the last two episodes together, but it's hard to kind of spread them apart. Basically, what happened the previous episode before the last. So if you guys remember, Jack was supposed to let the terrorists release the gas at a mall, and then he was supposed to follow the terrorists, and they would get a lead on where the rest of the gas canisters were. Instead, he didn't do that. They released the gas anyway, but not many people were killed, just a few, instead
11.
of like 900. So Jack did a good thing, but they don't have a following lead for the rest of the canisters. Here's what Lynn McGill has to say about it.
LAPD is setting up a perimeter around the terrorist's last known location. We've activated all search protocols, including satellite and Caltrans surveillance.
But we don't have any real leads, do we? If Jack Bauer would have followed orders and maintained his cover, we could have intercepted these people.
We don't know that for sure, Lynn. What we do know is Jack's failed decision saved over 800 innocent people.
It may well cost us 100 times that many people.
In the meantime, we've contained both the physical threat and the media's awareness, which would have triggered massive civil unrest.
Well, you tell yourself that if you want to, Ms. Raines, but the fact remains that these terrorists are at large, with 19 canisters of Centaux nerve gas, and we don't know where or when they're going to hit us next.
We're all aware of the threat, Lynn.
Then why does she keep defending Bauer?
She likes his, never mind.
I want Bauer placed in custody. I want him brought in here.
Oh, not this storyline.
Jack can be disciplined later. Taking him out of the field right now is a mistake.
Don't tell me how to do my job.
He was authorized by the president.
But he works for me, and so do you. I want
Sam
Weiss
GMG.
The rest of you maintain your search protocols. Send your progress reports to my screen in 10 minutes.
So once again on a season of 24, is Jack is brought into custody. So he has Curtis bring him in, and he gets a call from Detective Nicholas Knight from Forever Knight. I can't remember the character's name.
We watch too much TV.
Yes, we do. We only remember their old names from shows.
I play too many games.
So what happens is he's like, Jack, I'll only deal with you. And so Jack naturally has to knock Curtis unconscious and take his car, which I kind of wondered, hey, what if he stopped for a second? Curtis, I got a lead. Let's go. But instead he's like, no, I'm going to knock him unconscious and just go. Anyway, he gets a chip from the guy. The guy's being chased and hunted down by the terrorists because they're really pissed off of how, you know, we were going to screw them over and basically gas all of them. But the guy is killed, but Jack does get this chip, right?
Uh-huh.
And meanwhile, Lynn McGill is slowly going insane, more and more paranoid. He's having everyone monitored. He's freaking out, and he has Buchanan locked up.
Okay.
He's like, your father is the head of the Department of Defense, so unfortunately I can't arrest you or I can't fire you, but I can fire you, Bill. And then they take him into custody, and it's like, holy crap, this dude's going nuts.
Damn you, Bill Buchanan.
So the following week, which, you know, they blend together. I'm sorry, everybody. Oh, but another thing is, you know, Badger looks like he's going to be the bad guy, the guy from Firefly. He gets stabbed, he's dead, and Julian Sands from Warlock is the new bad guy.
Boxing Helena.
Yeah, boxing Helena. Watch out, he'll stick you in a box and cut your arms and legs off. But it's because he loves you, so...
That's
it's
right.
It's all for love, yes.
Yeah, always. Do you think David Lynch was like, maybe I shouldn't have let my daughter direct a movie?
No, he probably liked it.
Yeah,
I saw that on the military base movie they gave us. Like, thanks!
So, apparently Hollywood has let Julian Sands come back after boxing Helena. It's like, okay, you can be on 24, all right? But if you chop anyone's arms or legs off, you're out of here. All right, I'll be the well-spoken bad guy.
Yeah.
So, basically, he's like, here's what I'm going to do. I want the routes to the Russian president's motorcade. And if you don't give them to me, Mr. President, I'm going to let this gas loose on American soil and kill millions of people. So the president's like, holy crap, what do? I don't want American people to die.
Holy crap.
Yeah, he doesn't want American people to die. So he gives in. He gives in to a freaking terrorist.
No.
And he tells them the motorcade route. But not before his wife finds out. And she's like, this is not what you... When you wanted to be president, is this what you wanted to be? You wanted to give in to terrorists? You know, she's making him think about all the things that he doesn't want anyone to say to him. He just wants to make the decision. So they have to be real phony to their faces, the Russian president and his wife. Like, oh, it's so nice for you to be here. You know, we'll see you next time, when they know really what's going to happen is they're going to get killed. Yeah, right at the last minute, the president's wife gets in the limo. And she's like, I think I'll ride with him. And Aaron gets in the limo with her and drives away. But the president doesn't know this until this week, and then... All of a sudden, they're like, Mr. President, your wife got into the car. And he's like, huh? So this is what happens.
Mrs. Logan, here's the president for you on line one.
Thank you, Aaron. Hello, Charles.
Listen to me carefully. I want you...
Yes, I think they had a wonderful visit. And you would very much like for us to come to Moscow. That'd be lovely.
I want you to tell the Suvorovs that I need you back here. I'm going to have one of the follow cars bring you back.
I don't think so, Charles.
Tell them now, while I'm on the phone.
Martha.
I know that you want me to call the motorcade back, but the terrorists were very specific. If I don't allow them to attack the motorcade, they're going to release canisters of nerve gas in multiple locations.
Well, I guess we'll just have to figure something out before that happens.
We're trying! We're trying, but
we haven't found them yet.
You need to get out of the car.
I've had conversations like this with my wife.
But she'll call me if there's any change of plans.
Damn it, Martha!
Okay, bye-bye.
She doesn't let on what I'm talking about. It's like, get out of there.
She won't get out of the limousine. My God. We got to do something, Mike. We got to get her out of the car.
So she doesn't want to get out of the car. And basically what she wants to do, she wants to not give her husband an out. So he'll have to call off the attack. But what he realizes that, hey, if I let them attack my wife's in the car, it can't ever be traced back to me. Because they wouldn't think I'd jeopardize my wife's safety. But a good thing is... Kim Raver finds out that they picked up a lot of chatter of something about the motorcade. So they try to tell Lynn McGill, hey, you know, something's going to happen. I think they're going to attack the Russian president's motorcade. And he's like, yeah, right, whatever. I'm not listening to that. We don't have time to deal with that. Find those canisters. And she's like, what is your damage? She's like, just shut up. You know,
bitch.
He's freaking out. So she goes and tells Curtis, like, you need to execute Order 66. You know, kind of like the one that killed the Jedi, but it's some kind of rule where you can just take over because a guy's not fit for command. So naturally he does this, and it's in a great scene where everyone turns on Lynn McGill. I'll get you for this. You know, they take him away, and they put him in a cell, and they release Bill Buchanan. Meanwhile, Jack tracks down his former mentor, played by Peter Weller. RoboCop, you guys.
Right.
How sweet is it to see RoboCop?
Your move, creep.
That's right. And, you know, he's chatting with Jack. He's like, hey, Jack, I wasn't a bad guy before. Apparently, Peter Weller recruited Jack Bauer into CTU. And he was basically fired because they pinned on some kind of charges on him that he said he was always innocent about. And Jack said, hey, man, you never tried to defend yourself. You know, who was I supposed to side with? So anyway, he ends up screwing Jack over and planting a bomb in a room and sealing Jack in it. So he's not a good guy.
You think?
And it ends with the bomb going off. And, of course, Jack gets out of it and he escapes. So I can't wait to see what happens next week. Oh, you know, I don't want to leave out they did strike the caravan. They did get to him in time. They warned him and said, hey, you're about to be attacked. And they stopped to turn around the motorcade. But then The terrorists started attacking. And Aaron almost got killed. And he saves the day. He's unconscious. And the terrorists, they're trying to break into the limo. They're going to kill him all. All of a sudden, Aaron wakes up, sticks his gun out, and kills the guys. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, you know, the whole thing with The Hobbit, you know, with his sister being a drug addict. What's up with that?
I don't know. I don't know what all that is about. But he's
still his wallet?
In this episode, he lost his freaking mind. He was like, what are you doing? Where are you going? I was like, dude, I'm going to go take a leak. You get back to your station or you'll be placed in handcuffs. I was like, dude, what the hell? The guy was totally flying off the handle. So that was, I thought that was pretty entertaining. And it looks like Kim Bauer will be back, Alicia Cuthbert.
Oh, no.
So I'm sure Bill will be very excited about that.
She, I can't see it. I can't see the appeal with her.
Yeah,
really,
well, see, as long as she's not in danger. If they put her in mortal danger, like maybe Peter Weller's like, hey, I know how we get to Jack. He has a daughter. Let's kidnap her. I'll be like, oh, no.
Your move, creep.
Let's strap her to a roller coaster and put some C4 on it. And I was like, no. So
a roller coaster?
Yeah. So I can't wait to see what happens on 24. How about we check out some 24, you guys?
Let's do.
Oh, yes. Sweet 24. Jack Bauer Power Hour. Yes, sir. This week on 24, Kim returns. Kim Bauer, played by Alicia Cuthbert. what's funny about this is that she shows up with, I don't know if it's her boyfriend or what, but it's C. Thomas Howell, Stephen.
Awesome.
And he's like 20 years older than her, and he looks old. He's got wrinkles. This is not Pony Boy anymore. All right? Pony Boy.
He didn't stay gold, that's for sure.
Well, what's funny is, Jack, let me talk to your daughter. It would be really weird if you just walked in and she thought you were dead all this time. So he's like, okay. So instead of her being happy, she's pissed off that he's alive. And when he goes in to talk to her, and she's like, how could you do this? You didn't trust me. And no, don't hug me. You know, stay away. And C. Thomas Howell's like, yeah, how could you treat her like that? And he's like, who the hell are you, dude? You know, Jack Bauer's about to kick his ass. Meanwhile, this is the best part about this. You know, Lynn, Samwise Gamgee, he went out back of CTU and was going to give his sister, who's a drug addict, some money, and her and her boyfriend kick his ass and take his wallet, which had a CTU ID in it. Meanwhile, her boyfriend, I don't understand this part at all of the show, but somehow he's gotten in contact with the terrorists who are going to buy the CTU card off of him. How did he get in touch with these people?
How would he even know about it?
I don't know. And he doesn't know. He's an idiot. He's like, I'm going to sell this for 20 grand. This card right here, it's got a 20 grand credit limit on it or whatever. It's so funny.
It'll wind up getting him killed.
And yeah, Lynn, Samwise, tries to call her and says, I need my card back. And she's like, can't we just give my brother's card back? He goes, no way, man. We're selling this puppy. And you can get as much coke as you want.
Agreed. So
meanwhile, cut to them tied up and gagged, and a second later, they're shot with a, and he shoots both of them in the head, execution style. So meanwhile, Buchanan goes in to talk to Lynn and says, I have some horrible news here. You know, Lynn's in custody still. And he goes, your sister has been killed. And he's like, oh my God, I bet it was her boyfriend. Her boyfriend was involved. He's like, no, we found him gagged and shot in the head next to her, and they were killed execution style. We think it was a professional hit. And he's like, oh, crap. Okay, I'm kind of going out of order here, but Jack Bauer goes to Peter Weller's house, and he's going to intercept him.
RoboCop.
There. Yeah, and Jo Beth Williams, the great Jo Beth Williams in such movies as Poltergeist, is his wife. And she's there doing the dishes and stuff, and Jack shows up. And he's being real mean to her, like, sit down on the couch. I'm going to go on his computer and hack into it. And he's like, what is the password? And she's like, I don't know, Jack. He's a great guy. And so Peter Weller shows up, and Jack pins him down. He sits him on the couch. He goes, you're going to tell me what I need to know, or I'll shoot you in the leg. And he goes, go ahead and kneecap me, Jack. That's not going to stop anything. I can't tell you anything. So he's like, oh, yeah? And he turns to his wife and he goes, shoots his wife right through the leg. She's like, ah! He's like, God damn you, Jack. He goes, now you're going to talk. I'll shoot her again if you don't tell me what I need to know. And he goes, I'm sorry, honey, I love you, but I can't tell him anything. And he's like, you bastard. So even though he's shooting his wife, he's not going to say anything. She's like, I'll just take you to CTU and torture you. And I thought that was a genius scene when he shoots his wife in the leg, didn't you?
Yes.
So anyway, while this is happening, he shows up and he's torturing Peter Weller. And, you know, Kim shows up. The terrorist guy arrives, and he's reprogrammed Lynn's card to show his face. And he enters in with this case that doesn't look that big to me, but it turns out he's brought one of the canisters of gas with him. And he sticks it in the ventilation system.
I thought you were going to say he brought a midget in.
Yeah, he's got a special... He's got a midget with a bomb strapped to him. And that's little people to any of our tiny listeners out there. Yeah, I don't know. But it was ridiculous. So when Lynn...
big sign, put gas here.
Yeah, Lynn finally tells Buchanan, he goes, oh, by the way, my card got stolen, and I put CTU at risk. And he's like, oh, now you tell me. But it's too late. There's a guy in there. And I love this. The guy... This was a great scene, though. The guy lets the gas loose. And Jack kills him, but it's way too late. The gas has started releasing. And he's like, everyone get out, everyone get out. But you see people running out the doors, and you see him dropping dead all around, and it's too late, the gas. And Chloe's like, there's only like 3 rooms where the gas isn't at. Let's go to the conference room. Meanwhile, Edgar, the kind of chubby IT guy, he went downstairs to see where the one chick went who went to investigate, and she's been killed. And he's like, oh my God. So he runs out. So anyway, you kind of forget about Edgar. So C. Thomas Howe, Kim Bauer, Kim Raver, we've got Jack. They're all in the conference room, sealed up. Everything's fine. And there's like, okay, we're safe. And all of a sudden you see Edgar walk in. And he's like, hey, what's... And they're like, oh, my God. And you see Chloe. She's like, Edgar! And here's a clip of what happens. It's very sad.
Chloe.
Poor Edgar. Oh, he's choking to death. It's horrible. Heart-wrenching scene. And he's dead. He's a zombie!
And
he resurrects from the dead pretty much
that's
immediately.
A nice body drop noise.
Yeah, you gotta love Foggy. So anyway, Edgar's dead, and it was a really sad scene. He almost gives Chloe a scene like he looks at her in the eyes. She's in the glass, and she's like, oh my God, Edgar. And he's like, Chloe? And he gives her a look like, I've always loved you, and then drops dead. And did you notice after that happened, Vanessa, and I love when they've done this before on 24, the clock counter runs out, but it does it without the sound effect. It's like... and it's like, oh, Edgar!
Fat ass!
So, you fat ass. Poor Edgar. That guy didn't get paid enough for this crap. And remember, last season, his mom died at the hands of terrorists, and this time he dies. So, pretty much...
At the hands of terrorists.
It sucks to work at CTU.
From Jack.
I know. It sucks to work at CTU.
See, Kiefer Sutherland coming your way. Get the hell out of there.
But I thought that was a great scene, and next week is going to be about them trying to get out of CTU with the gas, and... And I believe they did the one of them will die.
Uh-oh.
Which they love doing on Fox. All right, guys, let's get into some 24. All right, 24. Let's think back a couple of weeks ago. Let me think I can try to remember. No, they're in CTU, and the gas has been released, and... They're sealed up. Oh, yeah, Edgar just dropped dead, and everyone's sad. And
Chloe's turned mute and pouty again.
Because she got to see Edgar, or she can still see Edgar, apparently dead with foam coming out of his mouth, and she keeps staring at it.
And Pony Boy tries to talk her down.
We got an overly wrinkly Pony Boy. Why does that guy have so many wrinkles? Did he spend years in the desert or something?
Come on, Chloe, breathe. Alcohol. Stay gold. Stay gold, Chloe.
I love that where he's like talking about the breathing. She's like, what is it with the breathing with you? You know, they have to get to some kind of terminal to basically turn the AC unit on. Is that what you guys think it was, pretty much?
Yeah, that's whenever they send Lynn to do it.
Yeah, to make a long story short.
They say, Rudy,
yeah,
run and
that,
do it.
He had a great, there was a great Rudy moment in the show where they go, hey, Rudy, you're going to have to go upstairs, flip the computer on, turn on the AC, and you're going to drop dead, but you're going to save us all. And he's like, okay, I'll do it. But there's a security guy like, no, we're not. No, I'm going to die too. So
and he says, come on, pull it together. Goonies never say die.
Yeah. But Goonies are about to die. And what was funny about that security guard, have you guys noticed, remember the Star Trek term red shirts? All the security guards in
CTU. They all wear red shirts.
They all wear red shirts. Yeah, that's a hilarious joke. I know they did that on purpose.
They had to.
But the little girl, the security guard who's going to die because he has to breathe in the gas, his daughter's like, will you wake me up when you get home so I know you're safe? He goes, yeah, honey. And it's just like, they were like, come on. They're trying to make it as sad as possible.
And the best is whenever he couldn't hold his breath anymore, and he sucks it in and goes, I'm okay. I'm okay.
And starts like shaking. And then, you know, we get to hear Lynn or, you know, Samwise, you know, Ralphie.
Rudy. What,
Rudy.
Hobbit.
Ralphie.
Wasn't he Ralphie in the Goonies? What was his name?
No.
I thought that was his name.
It was
Goonies.
Mikey. Yeah.
Mikey, yes. Mikey. Damn me. I thought I was a Goonies fan.
You're no Goonies fan.
Yeah. I know Chuck and
Fratelli.
And Data. So anyway, he chokes to death and dies. Now, I think Kim Bauer is the most poorly written character in the history of television.
No, not... Well, Kim Bauer and Kim Hardcore UK Raver.
Yeah, but, you know, her dad is like, I love you, Kim, and if we ever get out of this, I'd like to, you know, take you out for a cup of coffee. No, Dad. People die around you. It's like,
stay
okay,
away from me. Okay. You've got cuties.
Yeah, listen. You know, I would say, like, okay, this dude saves the country, like, every year, and you can't just have a cup of coffee with him when this is all
every
over.
Every 24 hours, he saves the country.
No, I need to go have sex with Pony Boy.
Yeah, and he's like, that man is 20 years older than you. I love when he got him in a chokehold. Like, he's like...
See, Thomas Howell, you're not going to get away with wearing black makeup around me.
So,
what happened to your face? You've got wrinkly and gray.
Yeah, did you?
You look older than me now.
Samwise saved all of them because the gas was eating through the seals, I guess. It had some kind of irritant. Seals, yeah. Those poor seals were being eaten alive.
They were clubbing the seals.
Didn't you guys think it was hilarious when they're like, what rooms are safe? Okay, Buchanan's room, he's safe. The cell with Samwise in it is safe. And Tony's room is safe. It's like where all the main characters are.
The major characters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except Edgar.
And of course, Tony, he's like, Peter Weller's in here. He killed my wife. I'm going to kill him. And
you son of a bitch. What did you do to Kurtwood Smith, RoboCop?
Clarence Bodiger. He was about to stab him with the syringe, and he was like, sayonara, RoboCop. And right then he goes, no, wait, I can't. I'm not that kind of guy. And right then, even though Peter Weller has been tortured and felt so much pain, he could play possum, apparently. And he grabs a syringe and stabs Tony in the heart.
See, I was confused there. I was thinking... maybe the guy that was supposed to be conducting the torture was in on the thing, and he wasn't really giving him the bad stuff.
Yeah, what was it? Were they injecting stuff that made it feel like fire going through your nervous system or something?
I have no friggin' idea. I don't think they were injecting anything. I think they were giving him milk.
Here's what happens when Jack finds Tony almost dead.
No, not my soul patch. Hang stay on. Alive.
She's gone.
And we actually see Jack Bauer cry here. Poor guy. Maybe Kim is right. Everyone does die around Jack. Tony!
Does he do the great...
No!
That would have been great, but... Were you guys bummed out when Tony died?
Yes, but wasn't it last year that Tony, like, saved the day?
Yeah, he shows up just in time. Vanessa, did you not like Tony? Or did you think his character's usefulness was used up?
I think she disliked his soul patch immensely.
Yeah. Yes. It kind of, you know, after a while you're like, okay, move on, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah, you know what? 24 started off really good this season, really quick, moving along, and now it's starting to drag ass a little bit. They need to pick it up again.
Now, do you think that they're killing all of his friends off for a reason? Like, he's going to go hellbent and just start wasting dudes for the second half of the season?
I think he's going to hide in the woods and become John Rambo.
Now, there's something weird going on with the vice president here. He's trying to take over.
Wasn't the president in Twin Peaks...
Leland Palmer from Twin Peaks is apparently trying to take over or something.
Yes, he wants to have sex with his daughter.
Yeah, and wrap her in plastic. So she's dead.
She's dead.
Wrapped in plastic. So what happens is they're declaring martial law. Let's cut into this new episode. They're declaring martial law on L.A., but they're not calling it that.
Leland Law.
The troops are moving in, and... the president's wife keeps saying that, you know, he's just setting you up to take the fall so he can become the president or whatever.
And then Delta Burke's going to move in and we're going to design clothes
They're going to design a race of robot women.
And Meshach Taylor is going to come sing for us.
No, not Meshach. Let's not forget that President Palmer, Wayne Palmer, calls up Aaron and he's like, I have some important information I need to come out to you to give you. And the vice president hears about this, and he's intercepted with, like, this hit squad, which I believe it's Mackie from the S.H.I.E.L.D. show up. And
it's the vice presidential hit squad.
Yeah. And also Homeland Security comes in to take over CTU, which I don't know what's going on there. Julian Sands is dealing with this woman who has some kind of microchip or something. And she's going to give it to them for all this money. Now, Jack has a way of finding her. through...
He calls Desmond.
Desmond from Lost, the guy who lived in the hatch. We know where he went now. He went to 24.
He went to 24, and he started having sex with an Eastern European spy.
And he's fallen in love with their brother. And so he won't cooperate with Jack. He's like, hey, the German intelligence agency, we've got all this work on her, and we can find out terrorist cells and blah, blah, blah. So Jack's like, okay, here's what I'll do. I'll give you the wet list. It's a list of every
active
single...
gay porno star.
Yeah. It's a list of every single terrorist threat that we know about or whatever. So let's trade. Yeah. So he's like, okay, that sounds good. So they catch this girl, and Jack questions her, and this is what she says. It's very shocking news.
The safe house is a manufacturing facility at 12451 Satikoi Boulevard. As for the data I sold to Bierko, it's something that I received from a contact at the Department
Craig
of Defense.
Craig Bierko?
What's his name?
Her name. Audrey Raines.
What?
You're lying to me.
She sold me the information, Mr. Bauer. Apparently she had the price.
Oh. Dun, dun, dun.
Put her in the car.
So Audrey Raines had something to do with this. I guess Jack...
Nothing but the Kim Hard K UK raver.
So I don't know what's going on here, but I'm still entertained by the show, but I'm getting confused. What about you guys? The thing with Wayne Palmer?
Sounds kind of confusing.
I'm always entertained by the show. But
the show is
like
great.
I
thought that Tony's death was great. Yeah, it's got a lot of good moments.
Peter Weller. I mean, come on.
Peter Weller escaped somehow. I didn't get that, but that's enough with 24. We'll check back next week.
You are move, creep.
Yeah. Now, on to 24.
I'm totally confused.
What?
Sounds like I really missed a throw.
Well, after that exciting Smallville talk, I don't even know what I'm going to do with 24. Now, it's all serious, folks, but remember last week, Jack questioned that one chick, and she said that Audrey was her contact in the DOD with some kind of chip thing that gives terrorists stuff. Now, you guys remember that, right?
Yeah.
Jack, he wants to... Jack can't believe that the love of his life, Audrey, would have something to do with this, but he wants to question her. But that chick from Homeland Security wants to inject her with some of that fire liquid stuff and question her.
Fire!
Now, what is that stuff they're injecting into their veins? What is that? Now, all of that stuff that's going on, there's that guy Miles from Homeland Security who keeps getting on Chloe's nerves, which I think is hilarious. And they have this new girl working for Chloe, and she says that she charged the guy with sexual harassment at her last job. And that's what I love about 24. They have these weird little subplots that don't go anywhere, but it's just amusing. And here's a clip.
They do. It's true. They do. It's funny the way they do that.
Here's a clip of Chloe dealing with that Miles guy.
Excuse me?
Sounds like Tron.
These matrix are partials only. Where's the rest of the data?
You're from the master control.
Matrix data could be sent unfiltered.
It's not protocol.
I thought it was
unfiltered data.
He's like, you look really tense.
Who authorized it?
I did. She did it under my authority.
Come closer, Clarice.
I don't believe
intense.
You. Believe what you want.
That would be sloppy, O'Brien. You don't work like that.
I eat her liver. With some fava beans and a nice glass of
Chianti.
She told
you about my alleged sexual harassment, right?
She told you about my alleged sexual harassment.
No, you listen. There are 17 canisters of nerve gas about to be deployed somewhere in Los Angeles, and we're trying to find them. If you interrupt our work one more time, I'll file a complaint with Division.
Ooh. So what's great about this is that basically Jack talks to Audrey and all that stuff, and it turns out she slept with Walt Cummings.
No,
she had just a one night thing. You know, she wasn't in love with the guy. She was lonely.
Was he Cummings or Goings?
But Jack believes her. He believes that she had nothing to do with it, and they're going to torture her anyway. But the only way they can get them to stop torturing her is for Jack to go question the girl who has signs the immunity. Every season on 24, someone signs immunity.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they find some way to get out of it.
Right, and he talks to her, and he's like, he basically figures out that Peter Weller told her that the safe word would be Audrey Raines, and then it would screw everything up. They find out that Audrey Raines has nothing to do with it, and cut to Bierko, who is the warlock, Julian Sands, and he's taking over a gas company. He's going to put the Centaux in a gas line. Okay, first of all, this is L.A., and it's not wintertime, and it doesn't get cold in L.A. Who's using gas stoves in Los Angeles is what I want to know.
The ghetto, I don't know.
Maybe somebody, I don't know.
And say you do use gas stoves, you also light it, so wouldn't the fire burn the gas? But, you know,
what I understand.
To make a long story short, they show up and he stops Bierko, but here's what happens if you can decipher this. The whole place is exploding.
Get out of there!
And everyone's dead, so we'll check back next week and see if Jack survives. What do you guys think?
It's synopsis.
That sounds terrific.
No, what's funny is Jack's like, hey, I know a way to stop the gas. Why don't we blow up this place? And they're like, yeah, good idea. So he sets like some bombs. And
yes, please. And C4 all over my workplace and exploded.
And everyone's leaving, and he's like, he sees the terrorist getting away, so he's like, hey, I'll chase the guy, you know, during the explosion. But the guy doesn't have the gas anymore, so is he really a threat? Just let him go.
So Warlock, get back here!
So you see at the very end, he blows up, and then all the rubble falls on top of the car. So we'll see what happens. But 24, that was a great episode of 24 that I totally sold short.
I'll take your word for it. I haven't seen it.
Oh! Well, you take my word for it. It was genius. And you know what else was?
Myth. Wolves are dangerous to humans. Fact. You have a better chance of being hit by a meteorite than eaten by a wolf. Except if you wake up naked in the woods.
Exactly. So anyway, let's move on to 24. Now, at the end of the last episode, Jack and Bierko get caught in an explosion, and you think they're dead, but here's what happens.
We see you. Jack's okay. Get a medical team over here now.
Jack's okay.
Jack, you okay?
I'm fine, thanks. Yeah. Thanks for asking, Curtis.
I got it.
Bierko! Bierko!
Bierko!
He's unconscious.
I'll never forgive you for the 13th floor.
Nerve gas didn't leave the plant.
I'm sorry, wrong Bierko.
Explosion worked.
I was looking for Craig.
He's going into severe shock. We need to transport him now. I want him taken
back. By the way,
CTU
I loved you and long kiss goodnight.
Curtis, organize the escort team. You get him back to CTU alive.
He's got a new sitcom, too, I think, Craig Bierko. Now, anyway, what's great about this episode is that everything changes now. There's no more canisters, any of that. The Centaux, that storyline's over with. Now, something horrible is going on. Someone is in charge that we're getting to, right? What happens is Homeland Security is starting to take over CTU.
That's Chloe O'Brien.
That's Jim Hill from Homeland.
Jim Hill, Homeland Security. Show me your station.
Hey, it's Jim Hill, you guys.
O'Brien? Yes.
Hey, Jim Hill, how are you?
I'll need all your relevant access codes.
Who are you? What's going on here?
May I have your attention, please? These men and women are from Homeland Security.
We've established that.
I just authorized a unit-wide backslash.
And this
protocol.
Is Jim Hill.
A unit-wide
CTU
backslash
is being
protocol.
By the Department of Homeland Security.
Jim Hill, how's it going? Remember, Wayne Palmer is being chased by henchmen who want to kill him, and Aaron saves him. Now they're back at the compound. Now, they want to talk to the First Lady's assistant, who it turns out was really good friends with David Palmer. She knows who's behind everything. Now, you would think she'd go, okay, guys, hear who it is. But no. They have her daughter. So she's not going to tell us anything until Jack rescues her daughter. Okay, everyone follow me on that?
Yeah.
No, but go on.
So she needs to go exchange the information she has with Peter Weller, with RoboCop. And
your move, creep.
They will give her daughter back. Now, Jack and Wayne Palmer are going along, and he's like, I used to be a Marine, Jack. I know what I'm doing. So they go, and this was a very Splinter Cell type episode, if you guys ever played that. He's got the little keypad, his PDA, and it shows him killing guys. I love, there's a great scene where Jack goes, wraps an arm around the bad guy, and sticks the gun to his back, and goes, and you see the bullets out his chest. It was awesome. Then they show Wayne do it, and he's kind of shaky, not sure, and finally he takes the guy out.
Jack. Only after the guy faces him, though. It's like, dude, just shoot him in the back.
Yeah, but he's
like, easier for everyone.
And the guy's like, hey, wait a second. And
he's get
like,
out of the guy and then shoot him.
Yeah. So they get the daughter back after shooting up Peter Weller's car and that kind of thing. Or he hops in her car. The lady gets shot in the leg. Everything's great and all that.
It didn't hit any arteries. She's going to be okay.
But at the very end, we get to find out who's behind it all.
Promised me you would control the situation.
I didn't count on Jack Bauer showing up, sir. He outmaneuvered me. Sir Bauer and Wayne Palmer won't be around long enough to tell anybody else what they know. I'm putting together another team. I will handle this, sir, I promise you. I will not let you down.
See that you don't.
Wait a second, no! And next week.
So, like, the whole incompetent president thing is an act?
I guess so. It looks like it's all an act.
You know what? Now the show's stretching. You know, it was stretching before, but now it's stretched a little.
But think about it. It's genius. The president looks, like, totally inept, and he's behind it all. It's really – I think it's really funny. I think it's clever.
No, he's not behind it all. It's someone else above him.
It's possible, but...
And if he wanted Jack Bauer dead so bad, why didn't he kill him whenever he first showed up at the beginning of the season?
I have no idea, but maybe we'll find out soon.
Oy, oy, oy. That show pulls out stuff that I just can't believe sometimes.
It's like when the season's over, if you think about it, it's better not to. Your head starts hurting. Wait a second, this doesn't add up. And it's like, no, just move on.
Bang. Ladesh.
Exactly, Jonathan. Well, you know what else is Bangladesh, Vanessa and Steven? And that's 24. Ah, yes, 24, Jack Bauer. Jack Bauer Power Hour. You got RoboCop. You got all sorts of crazy crap. You got the president. He's a bad guy, Steven.
Man,
now,
no.
This is how the episode begins. Let's check it out.
Are you still on the secure line?
Yes, why? What's going on?
Evelyn didn't implicate Gardner. She implicated President Logan.
Oh, my God, Jack. My God, are you sure?
She said he was responsible for everything that happened today, starting with providing the terrorists with the nerve gas.
Including global warming.
That's what Palmer found out. That's why they killed him.
Bastard.
Did President Logan order Palmer's assassination?
Henderson gave the order, but Evelyn says she has evidence that shows that
he caused the flooding in New Orleans.
He's the reason gas prices keep going up.
Earlier this morning. Bastard. Henderson and President Logan. She put it in a safety deposit box in a bank. We're on our way to get it now.
Why would she do that?
He is the reason the sun sets and rises.
My PDA so we can navigate our way around them.
All right, I'll take care of that.
Audrey, as soon as I have the recording, we're going to have to involve your father. We need someone in the government, someone credible, to present the evidence.
He is incredible.
He's on his way back from a summit in Japan. I'll call him on the plane.
The sex is fantastic.
These are great.
You don't think that they can be trusted?
Never mind.
Right now, we can't trust anyone.
That's right. You can't trust anyone. What's great here is he's with that assistant of the first lady and her daughter, and she's been shot in the leg. He's like, you'll be okay, right? She's like, sure. So him and Wayne leave, and she promptly passes out, which he should have stopped her bleeding first, don't you think?
Poor little salt in it.
Just bandage it up or something, but he made her very vulnerable where she's there with bleeding with her daughter with no one to help them. Jack and Wayne decide they need to kidnap the manager of the bank, which has the safety deposit box with the evidence of the recording that implicates the president. Right, Stephen?
Right.
Which is genius. They kidnap the guy and they get him there to the bank. Meanwhile, the mom passes out, so the daughter decides to call 911. And RoboCop catches in on that, so he shows up. And they never show what happens, but I'm pretty sure he killed her and the little girl, and that kind of sucks, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Do you think he killed him?
Damn Robo.
Damn you, RoboCop. Damn
I'd
you, Reaver RoboCop. RoboCop's men show up. Peter Weller, I'm speaking of, by the way. Chris Henderson's men show up, and they've got machine guns and all this. And Jack's like, I know what to do. I'm going to trip the alarm. The police will show up, and they'll get in a gunfight will ensue, and then we'll escape. Pretty good plan, huh?
Yes.
Meanwhile, they've made good friends with the bank president guy. They've even played him the clip, so now he knows the president's bad. So he wants to help out. They escape. The cops show up, and apparently, if you think about it like this, didn't Jack just endanger, like, police officers? But
pretty
I guess
much.
I mean, this information is very important. The president's a bad guy, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And what's cool is the army guys show up and they're like, and they're mowing down all the bad guys. But here's what happens.
How's he doing?
He's dead.
Does that mean he's okay?
He's going to be okay then, right?
But his phone is ringing.
Did your father agree to meet?
Yes, he's landing at Van Nuys Airport in about 15 minutes.
I'm here now.
Good, we got the evidence.
Get William Devane on the phone.
Yeah, there's no doubt it's Logan. You understand what this means? We're talking about taking down the President of the United States.
Ooh. So they're going to take down the President. And awesome. William Devane is on the next episode, so I can't wait to see what happens.
It's going to be glass shattering.
Now let's, a little girl has little powers, girl. And she can apparently make glass shatter. It's pretty awesome.
Yes.
Isn't that a worthless power, by the way?
She can control glass, so not only break it, but put it back together.
Vanessa, she could make you a fancy necklace if she wanted
to. Could she make me, like, stained glass window or something?
Yeah, she could make you bottles. She could make you a chandelier.
Just by thinking about it.
She could maybe make Jack Bauer a neat, like, bracelet or something. Now, I'm going to say that 24 has been great this season, and I love it. I can't wait to see how they take down the president. And I even have a prediction. And I hope this doesn't happen because it seems predictable, but I'm thinking his wife is going to kill him. The first lady will probably be disgusted and, like, cap him. What do you think? Could you see that happening,
the old
Vanessa?
Inside job.
Sure. Why not?
No spoilers anyway, but, you know, I'm going to say
that's your
something like that
your guess?
Happen. Yeah.
Get to know it.
Exactly, Jonathan. All right, here's what happened on 24.
He's citing the need.
Yes?
It's me.
Is Bauer dead?
Not yet, Mr. President.
Go on, move, creep.
Bauer triggered the bank alarm. Authorities came before my men could get to him. Bauer used the cover of the firefight to slip away.
He has a recording?
Yes, sir.
That evidence directly implicates me in David Palmer's death.
Only if it gets to someone who can do something about it. We'll have Bauer before that happens.
How?
Mr. President, you've established direct control over CTU, and CTU is heading up the search effort for Bauer.
You're putting an awful lot of
He's got to explain to him
this
why.
The city is locked down. CTU will find Bauer, and when they do, make sure you're the first to know so my men can intercept.
Your move, creep.
Well, what was great in this is William Devane comes back, right?
And everyone loves William Devane.
And they get, you know, they have this thing, this cassette tape, or his digital recorder, basically proving the president's this horrible guy, right? But then all of a sudden he's like, wait, Jack, and he punches him in the throat, and he's like, that's not a good idea. You'll bring down the presidency. How about I go present him with this and get him to resign? And if I was Jack Bauer, I'd go, okay, but did you have to punch me in the throat? Did the throat punching seem necessary?
You dick.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of dicky.
Dick.
Exactly. Dicky. Now, what happens is, of course, he goes and he threatens the president. And you know, of course, RoboCop, he's like, hey, don't worry about it. If we get the disc, if we get the recording, it won't matter, right? The part where Jack burns off his...
zip tie?
Yeah, the zip tie with the hot pipe. Yeah, but there's this great scene where he cuts Audrey's artery and she's bleeding everywhere. And he'll trade the recording for Audrey. And here's what happens.
She's running out of time!
Don't do it, Jack. Don't give it to him.
Here it is!
Whoa. Jesus Christ.
God.
Easy. She's laying there bleeding to death, and he goes, I'll be right back. And I was like, dude.
Yeah, I thought that too. I thought
he's going to bleed to death. Where are you going?
I thought he was going to chase after him. I was like, dude, her artery's cut.
Then he cuts that wire off the forklift. And I was like, oh, okay. I thought he was going to get some nuke to shoot.
And then Peter Weller calls the president right as he's about to resign. He's like, got the recording. Don't worry about it. And he's like, Heller, I'm going to ask for your resignation, bitch.
Well, not quite like that, but something like that.
Right.
And then the vice president's in there looking like a deer in the headlights.
There was the whole bit with the his wife was going to talk to Aaron, but Aaron disappears. What happened to him? Do you guys remember that? She just finds a cell phone on the ground.
Dead. I think maybe he gets killed.
Poor guy. We love Aaron. He's been on like every season. I hope he's okay. But I can't wait to see what happens next week. Let's check out 24, you guys. Awesome. All right, guys, 24. Let's play a clip first and we'll remember what the hell happened.
Okay, Jack, I'm pulling up the DoD database. Here it is. I'm patching you through.
Copy that. Heller.
Mr. Secretary, it's Jack. I need you to confirm for me if a helicopter has been tracking your vehicle.
What's going on, Jack?
Sir, time is critical. Is there a helicopter above you or not?
How would he not know if there was a helicopter?
Yeah, it's in whisper mode, like Blue Thunder.
Men.
Yeah, right.
He's giving them orders to
he's
kill
a Jappo.
You.
He's a
Jappo. The Daniel Stern
bluffing?
Up there.
Jappo. He's just another effing observer. Now, what I love about this is Henderson is basically threatening Jack that his men in the helicopter will shoot Heller in the car. But here's a great scene. Heller's like, no, you know what? I screwed up earlier, Jack. I apologize for how I screwed everything to hell. I'm going to go ahead and not let him have this leverage on you. And here's what happens.
Will not allow Logan and Henderson to use me as a pawn.
Sir.
Do not let them get away with this. Make sure that the recording gets to the right people. Tell Audrey I love her.
Secretary, what are you doing?
Oh no, what is he doing?
No.
Like slow motion?
I love that. Yeah. He drove off a cliff. That was genius.
Oh, what? Shit.
They should have showed the guys in the helicopter go, huh? Like, what the hell did that guy
What's
just do?
He, doing?
He must have been drunk or something. I will put up my sniper rifle.
They sure did go out of the way, though, to show the car launch off and never hit ground except water.
Yeah.
And the way it hit the water, there's got to be, you know, airbags and stuff in there. He's still alive.
Well, what I was thinking would have been cool, the airbag goes off, then he punctures a hole and lives
He's
off the air
here.
From the airbag.
You know what? I was flashing back to Alias in the second season. Sydney breathes off the tire air.
Uh-huh.
She's underwater,
it's
so
genius.
Maybe that's what he's doing.
Yeah. Hey, he could. It works. I've tried it. Now,
yeah, right.
Basically what happens is they get Heller. And Audrey's okay, everybody's fine or whatever. Even that bitch at Homeland Security is starting to think the president's an a-hole, right?
Right.
Yes.
What happens is Henderson actually dropped off the recording to someone on an airplane, some kind of problematic flight, and it looks like Jack is going to have to hijack a plane in the next episode.
Oh, no.
Because they show him pull his gun. He's like, everyone, nobody move. And everyone's like freaking out in the airplane. It's like, great, now he's a hijacker.
See, I didn't see that. My TiVo cut off before the preview for next week.
Yep.
You got to look at TiVo for that.
To see what happened. All I saw was him get up in the plane and then the plane seal, and that was it.
Yep, Jack's going to be a hijacker. Can't wait to see it.
Oh, God.
There's also some other stuff developing with the president where he has to off his wife. So
what happened to Aaron Pierce?
We don't know.
He's just gone?
Yeah. They never mentioned him in this episode.
Huh.
He's
not
important
they don't
enough.
Mention him, but she was the crazy first lady was supposed to meet with him.
She does. She questions one of the guys, and he says, he's been relieved of duty, ma'am. She goes, well, where is he? And he says, I have no idea, ma'am. This is just my job. I'm just I get paid really low salary. I can almost picture people like, oh, God, not more. But I love the president and his wife. I love the conversations they have, how the guy repeatedly lies to her, but you can see that she knows he's lying every time. She hopes that he's telling the truth, but she knows he's
lying. Every woman knows when a man is lying.
That's an extreme generalization.
Yeah, it is.
Ooh. Men try to.
And every woman thinks. Every woman thinks they know when their man is lying.
Yeah.
<So.
laughs> What is it? Over time, they've been screwed over by enough men where they think they're suspicious and paranoid enough where they think they know they're
so
lying.
So eventually, they'll catch him.
Yeah. All right, guys, let's get into 24. All right, last week I talked about how this week Jack needed to sneak onto an airplane and hijack it. Now, he sneaks into the luggage compartment, which is cool. That's the best place to sneak in.
You're hanging with the luggage.
And, of course, there's a little hatch that goes up where the drink carts are so he can sneak up into the upper levels and pretend to be a passenger. And I love this. He approaches the air marshal. The thing I love about the show is the cell phone reception is freaking awesome in 24, right?
Terrific. 35,000 feet and not a problem.
He's like, let me call Chloe. She's like, hi, Jack. Oh, and this is another good... Before I get to this...
I don't know if anyone has actually ever... it's supposedly illegal, federally against the law. I've left my cell phone on flying and looked down. You know, there is no signal whatsoever.
Right. But Jack can get one. And it's great. Chloe has to leave because CTU's agents are coming to Buchanan's house to look for her, and she goes to this hotel, like a Ramada Inn or something, where this drunk guy starts hitting on her as she's trying to, like, do stuff on the Wi-Fi. And it's funny, he goes, she's messing with her computer to help Jack, and he's like, I didn't even know we had Wi-Fi in the hotel. It's like, oh, okay, the audience now knows how she can access the internet.
Yeah, and then you got him going, oh, this is a nice computer.
Yeah,
I've never seen a model like this.
Yeah, he's just totally drunk. Can I buy you
the taser?
Is that a Macintosh?
And he's like, can I buy you a drink? And she goes, sure, have a seat. And he sits down, and she has a taser gun and goes, and like knocks him unconscious, electrocutes him.
Yeah, later on in the episode, he wakes up again and she shocks him again.
I love Chloe. I thought that was great. Now, meanwhile, Jack is on the plane and trying to mingle with the passengers and, you know, get in close with the air marshal.
Excuse me. Is that seat taken? Oh. Thanks. The stewardess said I could change seats. I was next to the galley. It's kind of noisy. I'm trying to get some rest.
Is your favorite word gravitas like it is mine?
Man, that's some kick-ass music there.
Is that like bug-crawling music?
Yeah, that is. That's like ants crawling all over your music. Play that again, Foggy. Oh, God, there are ants all over me! That's what it reminds me of. That's awesome.
That's right off the Casio keyboard.
So basically, it's not the passenger who Jack thinks it is. He spends all of his time trying to get it. It turns out to be the co-pilot of the airplane. And you know what? There's another RoboCop alumni in 24 now, and that's Emil, the guy who gets dumped in toxic waste. is he's this secret four guys with their Bluetooth phones talking to the president.
But hello, are you forgetting the vice president? The vice president was one of
Dexter's. Dude, I will totally shit if Clarence Boddicker shows up. It's like, it turns out the main guy at the end, Clarence Boddicker, is like, holy shit, I knew it all along. It's Clarence Boddicker's behind all this.
Yeah, Robocop kills the vice president in a dance club, remember?
That's awesome. Dude, I can't wait, man. But that's great. Apparently, they're like, the producers watch Robocop for the season began. It's like, let's get these casts. It's got a great cast to this movie.
Let's bring Karen Allen pops up.
Yeah, let's get Karen Allen. Let's get Ronnie Cox in here. It'll be genius. Let's get the guy who played Robocop 2, that big tooth fairy guy from Manhunter. That'd be awesome.
Oh, that was Robocop 3.
No, that was Robocop 2. Robocop 3 was Otomo, the ninja.
No, Robocop 3 was the Robert Burke or whatever. Robocop 2 still had Peter Weller in it.
No. Robocop 2, I'm talking about the killer, the tooth fairy from Manhunter.
Oh, sorry.
But remember the ninja in Robocop 3? Yeah. What the hell was that about? But anyway, back to 24. So I know I'm skipping over a lot of stuff because this was mostly a filler episode.
What about the general in Robocop 3, though?
Too bad Dan O'Herlihy is dead. He would have been great, too.
No, they could always get his son. He could reprise Fracker from Death Wish 3.
Yeah, Fraker.
The Giggler.
They killed the Giggler.
It's on the Giggler. Death Wish 3 is one of the greatest movies ever made. I don't care what anyone says. Screw the Godfather, all right? Okay, well, Jack gets control of the plane, right? And now Emil from Robocop calls the president.
Bauer's got the evidence. He is in control of the plane.
How do you know that?
We just picked up a call from Chloe O'Brien to Karen Hayes.
What do we do?
You are going to have to shoot down that plane, Mr. President.
What?
It's the only option you've got.
That guy's a great actor.
Otherwise, you go to prison for treason and murder.
Well, there's more bug music.
You know what would be great is if they incorporated.
That will chill you to the bone.
If they incorporated the president going to jail into Prison Break, and he was just constantly ass raped by someone. That was the storyline.
That'd be an interesting storyline there.
But it's amazing. We got to go through all the episodes of 24 this season and figure out how many people was in the original RoboCop.
I'm going to. Oh my, Steven, you got ants all over you.
Get him up! Get him up!
I love the music to 24. It's been great this week.
That sounds like the music from that like 1980s flick Swarm. with all the earthworms.
Yeah. Oh my god, I got earthworms all over me.
Get them off of me!
Stevie, get the flamethrower!
That really takes a lot of talent to just sit there and pound away at the keyboard.
Alright, we left off with 24 with Jack in an airplane. He's got the recording of the president. And this is what happens.
I can't believe it's come to this. I'm going to shoot down a plane full of innocent people.
Well, none of us is happy about this, Mr. President, but you don't really have a choice. Bauer has evidence implicating you in this conspiracy. And I don't have to tell you what the consequences will be for all of us if it's released.
Come quietly or there will be trouble.
What upsets me about that is he's upset about shooting down a plane. Yet earlier in the season, he was willing to gas an entire mall.
Yeah. Hey, you know, this is more people, I think, than the mall, maybe. No, I think it's less.
Maybe it's just
because it's an airplane.
Well, the airplane crashes into some major metropolitan.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. If they shoot down an airplane, it's going to land somewhere, the wreckage.
I mean,
and you know what?
Unless it's over some Nebraska cornfield, you know.
But what's great, don't worry about that, because once Jack learns that a F-18 is heading right towards him, he's going to land the plane, and here's what happens. He lands
that bastard. On a freeway.
Awesome.
CTU.
It's you.
You spotted the plane. They're coming in for a landing. We're heading towards them now.
I'm handing the controls back to you. Touch it down.
Stay on target.
We're going too fast.
Touch it down.
Stay on target. Target.
Target's touched down.
I'm
clear. Starting
base. So, Jack lands. Everyone's fine. He's got the recording. He goes
nice
back
shot,
to CTU.
Kid.
Everything's fine, right, Bill?
No, everything is not fine.
The president figures, I'm screwed. They've got the recording. I'm going to kill myself. And they have this long scene where he talks to the guy from RoboCop again. And he's like, sorry, it was great working with you, Mr. President. You know things can't happen like this. He's like, I know what I got to do. He's going
to
kill himself.
Yeah, I got to go fall in a vat of toxic waste.
He's got his, goes to talk to his wife, and she says, you're a despicable human being, blah, blah, blah. He's like, okay, whatever. I'm going to go kill myself anyway. Right as he's about to kill himself, he gets a phone call from that Miles dude at CTU. Miles.
The weasel.
Who knows they have the recording, and he's basically saying is, I'd like to offer my services up. I'll take care of this digital recording of you, and you kind of set me up for life, I guess.
Miles Papazian.
Right, so he's like, I would very much appreciate that, and I will never forget this gesture. So he walks into the room for a second where Chloe's decrypting or whatever. Why can't he just, everybody, before we start messing with this, listen to this recording. Click.
Yeah.
Why won't they do that?
What's so hard about pulling a digital recording off of something and just putting it on a hard drive?
Freaking make an MP3 and put it on iTunes or something, all right?
Yeah.
I mean, everyone could hear it, all right?
Hide it in plain view.
Here's my President Incrimination podcast by Chloe O'Brien. But instead, Miles walks in. He's like, how's it going? Okay. And he leaves. And you see scenes the next week. It looks like he used some kind of
he had that little thing in his hand that was flashing red. It was like a little...
It's a tiny microscopic EMP. It's an EMP, I think, Bill. It's a little miniature EMP. It's like in the Matrix, you
it
know?
Was his lightsaber.
So what I'm going to say is this episode of 24 is filler episode.
Well, it's not even filler, you know. It's like they were like, oh shit, we kind of wrapped it up too soon. Let's drag it out a little more.
Yeah, and that Bierko guy, Julian Sands, is all of a sudden back on the show.
We
the
need
warlock.
The warlock.
Yeah, we got the warlock back. When I'm they this it feels like they're just manipulating us now, and they're just stretching it out. This episode, thumbs down, did not like it at all. Even though the airplane landing on the freeway was cool,
after episode being good, and then to reach this point and do this to us, it was just kind of like,
yeah,
what are you doing? What's going on here?
It's like when the box set comes out, take this episode out of the box set. Is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, it doesn't exist.
I mean, they could have had a scene where Kiefer was like eating some calorie mate. That would have been more entertaining. Calorie mate. So that was 24. I can't wait for next week. Hopefully it'll improve on this one. The season's almost
over. How many
over.
Are left?
Let's wrap it up. I think there's 3 episodes left. So hopefully they'll have 2 more of stretching it out, and then the final one will be really good.
I wonder if they're going to end the episode with Jack in London, where it picks up for the movie that's supposedly getting made.
And he's got his little bag, and he unzips it, and he's got calorie mate. It turns out the whole show is a freaking calorie mate commercial. So anyway,
it really should be
calorie mate.
All right, 24, baby. Now, we knew last week at the very end, Jack arrives with the digital recorder incriminating the president. All is good. Miles calls the president and offers him a deal, like, I'll take care of this for you if you set me up. So it's time to play the digital recording to incriminate the president, and here's what happens.
All right, Chloe, let's check the sound levels. Play the recording.
It's like when I played back our first show we ever
What's
did.
Wrong?
There's nothing
I don't
there.
Know. What do you mean you don't know? Where's the recording?
This is what's on the digital medium.
That's impossible. See if there's an overlay. Check your connections.
Oh, dear.
There are no mistakes.
Even Chloe, You were responsible for this recording. What the hell happened?
I just told you. I don't know. But if there was something on this memory chip, it's been erased.
Bummer. So, of course, so they're screwed. And Jack has to again deal with Christopher Henderson, who is Peter Weller, RoboCop. Yay. Vanessa, Aaron is still alive.
No way. How is that possible?
He's about to be capped and put in a trunk when the first lady is sneaking around and notices it. And she gets the assassin's gun and shoots him with one of those cool silencer guns. Now, Jack talks Christopher Henderson into helping him. And what's funny is they always have to do immunity for the bad guys on the show in order for them to talk. Torture never works, so it's like, okay, let me offer you immunity. Except Christopher Henderson knows that the president will have him killed because he's a loose end that needs to be tied up. So he wants Jack to help him and his wife escape to, like, Barbados or something like that, which would be really nice of Jack. And, of course, Jack hates him because he killed Tony Almeida and had ties to killing the president and all that. Well, they come to find out that Bierko, when all the other crap is going on and they can't incriminate the president, they find out Bierko's escaped. And there's a great moment where Mike Novak goes up to the president, who's evil and everything, and he's like, "Mr. President, Bierko escaped." He's like, "What?" Like, kind of like, "Damn it, I was just about to take a nap finally, and this crap happens." And what I think is cool is it turns out Bierko has one more thing of Centaux gas, and he's going to make a huge statement now. He's not going to let this get screwed up. And it turns out that he's going to hijack himself a nuclear submarine parked unguarded in L.A.
That's what I would do.
Which happens all the time. I really wish that Homeland Security would do something about these parked unguarded nuclear submarines. What I think is funny is I really think that Bierko is going to blow up the president's compound, which I think would be hilarious. Jack, you know, he's like, "Chloe, who was the last person in here when you were messing with the computer recording?" She was like, "Miles walked in here," and they figure out it was Miles. So Jack starts choking Miles. It's great. Miles had been packing all this stuff, so his boss is a little curious about where he's going.
Where are you going, Miles?
I've been transferred. I was told to report immediately. The order should be coming through any minute.
Transferred to where?
The White House.
Oh my God.
How could you do this, Miles? This is not over. There will be an investigation.
Do what you have to do, Karen. But I work for the president now.
Ow! She smacked him.
I was waiting for Jack to snap his neck.
Jack just let him go. Oh, and that's another thing. The president immediately dropped all charges against Jack Bauer because he wants him to be walking down the street and get shot one day, I guess. But 24 has been great this season. And I can't wait to see how they tie it all up. This episode was much better, but the whole nuclear submarine thing kind of had me laughing. There's only one more episode left. It's a 2-hour season finale on Monday, which is tomorrow. Now, Bill, did you get to see 24, the season finale?
Just as I ran off, I caught the ass end of it.
Oh, well, that's good. Now, the thing about our 24 segment is now we have a sponsor. It's sponsored by
Cody.
I have some of those, too.
That's right. I love...
You know, Calorie Mate. It's Jack Bauer and the Chinese people.
You got to love Calorie Mate. Now, let's go ahead and get into some 24 and see how this bit goes through. Now, Bill, this was the 2-hour season finale of 24, right, Steven? It was 2-hour extravaganza. Now, last week on the show, we had to call Vanessa on the phone, so I just want to apologize right now to our listeners that somehow this has become a regular bit where we call the co-hosts on the phone. I don't know how that's happened. But right now, Bill, tell me what you thought of the 2-hour season finale of 24.
As we covered earlier in prior episodes, I should say, I felt that they dragged it out a little much, and this two-hour finale was just a culmination of the mess that they created by dragging it out. It was, the first hour was okay.
Yeah, that's where they...
The second, second hour was a little hit and miss, but overall it was, you know, an okay 24 finale. It right. wasn't the best one they've had, but it was okay.
It had its moments. Like, first of all, let's check out this clip where Jack and RoboCop raid the sub.
You ready?
Yeah.
I'll take out the guard. Let's go.
Guard is down. We're going in.
Nice percussion there.
That drum line.
Those missile hatches just opened.
I see them. What does that mean in terms of our time frame?
Now, Bill, you do have to agree, if this or 24, some of the best music on TV for a TV show, don't you think?
Well, for dramatic effect, yes, other than Alias.
Right.
Michael Giacchino, or however the hell his name was.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's still the best TV.
The best music on TV is Alias and Lost. The music to Lost just makes that show. It really does. Steven, why did you pick the crunchiest food possible to eat on the show? No, what were you saying, Bill?
24s is really good. They don't rely on the typical, you know, let's get artsy about it. They just start going...
Right. Right, like the bug music. That's 24. So I'm going to say some...
The bugs, they're all over me.
My favorite music is 24 and Lost. Those are just outstanding shows. Now, on 24, they raid the sub, and there was a great moment where he has to talk the sailor, who's the only kid left, into killing a guard to let them in the sub, which I thought was great. He's like, you got to grab him by the hair, pull his head back, and cut his throat. Make sure you cut his vocal cords. And it's just like, I don't think I can do this. He reminded me of Troy in The Final Sacrifice. I thought
Larry Zonka.
Yeah, it was Larry Zonka. But what's great is, of course, they kill Julian Sands, Bierko. They thwart, as they say, the missile launch.
They killed the warlock.
Yeah, they killed the warlock. And I love, there's a great moment, Bill. Do you remember this? Where Peter Weller escapes, or he's trying to escape, and he's got a gun.
He doesn't quite escape.
Yeah, he's on top of the sub, and he's got a gun Jack gave him. And we all know that Jack didn't put bullets in the gun, didn't we? Because he's like, oh, damn, Jack, good move.
So this is the second episode of a finale where someone didn't put bullets in a gun.
Right. I mean, hey, it happens, you know. You're right.
Well, it's convenient.
Yeah, it is convenient. So he kills Peter Weller in a great scene where he says, you killed my friends, you killed the president, and whatever. Blows him away, and thankfully he didn't get back up. Now,
he could have really used that RoboCop suit just about then.
The whole bit about 24 is the president is behind everything, and they don't want him to get away with it. Am I right? They've got the first lady in on it, and there's a great scene where they need the first lady to delay the president from leaving so Jack can get there, right? And Jack is actually going to steal the presidential helicopter with him on it and kidnap the president. Now, in the scene where she's already told the president, the first lady has, that she hates him. He disgusts her. Then she starts coming on to him like, oh, I was wrong. I hope you can forgive me. This is a very uncomfortable... Yeah, wasn't that like a really uncomfortable scene where she's basically trying to seduce him? And he's like, I think we have some time. And he starts making out with her. Oh, man, that was so... Oh, that was very uncomfortable. You know,
the guy that says it's President 24, or he just... There's something that we don't want to see.
Yeah.
And it involves sex or kissing.
And yeah, and when they're kissing, they played this music, which was weird. It's just weird makeout music, don't you think?
Yes, but it was appropriate.
Well, what was funny about that is they start to make out, and then the episode ends, right? The next episode, the second hour begins, and they've just finished. And this show's in real time, so basically they had sex for about 10 seconds. And then they were done.
Well, yeah. He didn't really even have to pull his pants down.
I guess not. You know,
the president, although he's the most powerful man in the world, he does have a problem, and that's premature ejaculation. Subject.
Yeah.
So it's just, it,
he
it,
has
it
ED.
Happens.
But do you know...
When you have a wife that's as hot as Martha...
Right.
Or whatever the hell her name was.
I mean,
you
that happens.
Now, yeah, you got to let it go.
Another fact about the president is...
But he's gay. I mean, he's gay. Excuse me. He's blind.
He's blind.
How do you confuse that?
Jack Bauer thinks he's going to coerce the president into confessing. He steals his helicopter, tasers everybody on board, kidnaps the president, handcuffs him, puts him on camera, and he's getting a live confession from him, which, of course, the
over
president...
Over the internet?
I don't know what it is. Directly to Chloe, and she's going to record it and put it on YouTube.
This is broadcasting worldwide.
Yeah, she's going to put it on YouTube, basically.
It's a video blog.
Excellent.
Right. So what happens is, of course, he's not going to confess, and if Jack forces him to, it'll look like a coerced confession.
Right.
So he says, if
yeah,
you...
I was scratching my head on that one.
So Jack says he's going to shoot him, and of course he can't, and he goes, it's okay, son. You can't kill the president. That's very understandable. So Jack gets taken into custody, and the president goes, and he shows up at the funeral for David Palmer. And you see his wife seeing him arrive, and she's like, oh, no, he didn't confess or anything. And so she starts flipping out in this great scene. And the president's like, excuse me, I need to talk to my wife. Takes her in the other room, slaps her, starts roughing her up, saying that I'll pump you so full of drugs you won't even know your own name. I'll lock you away in
you're
an institution.
You're lousy in the sack.
Yeah, you're lousy in the sack. Ooh! And, you know, he confesses everything. You know, yeah, sure, I killed David Palmer and blah, blah, blah. And sure, I did this, but no one's going to catch me, blah, blah, blah. And then he walks out and she's all scared. But it turns out that Jack put an old bug in his ballpoint pen, and they got all of that on digital recording.
Sweet.
Convenient.
So Chloe makes it into a podcast and puts it on iTunes, and that sucker gets lots of downloads, even more than Keith and the Girl.
Awesome.
Or MuggleCast.
You know that's tough to match.
Yeah. It's hard to beat MuggleCast, right?
Because who doesn't want to hear about... a Harry Potter subject every week.
Yeah. So basically, the president is busted and everything's happy. And it's been a great year, you guys. A great season of 24. Jack gets reunited with Audrey. They're going to make out. And some guy comes up and he goes, excuse me, Mr. Bauer, your daughter's on the phone. But it's in that dilapidated building right now. Sure, we've been able to patch airplanes into your cell phone. We've been able to call everywhere in the world, including you being hiding in vents. And,
you can make a cell phone call from a submarine underwater.
But,
transmitting video.
Yeah, but screw that. You know, I'm sure you can detonate bombs on terrorists with your cell phone, but will you please go get the phone in that dilapidated building? Sure, I'll be right back. And, of course, what happens is Jack is kidnapped.
Kidding? Oh!
And here's what happens.
Kill me. Just kill me.
Kill me.
Kill you? You're far too valuable to kill, Mr. Bauer.
So, Jack has been kidnapped by the Chinese.
We'll put you in a snuff film.
I'm just assuming this, but I think they're taking him to Shanghai. Because the boat So Shanghai.
Right. And he's on a tanker in the middle of the ocean heading to Shanghai. So the next season, Bill, you're going to be in Shanghai. So
they abandon all the real-time stuff because then he would have been from a warehouse to being beaten by long-haired Chinese men with perfect mustaches to being interrogated by a Chinese diplomat in less than, like, 3 minutes.
Yeah. Chopper waiting, apparently.
Yeah, in that confusion of releasing him. Now, why were all those people there? Whenever everybody found out about the president or whatever, I mean, there was like a whole team there. Was that the SWAT team they sent to bring him in? Or were they just having like a party? Hey, man, it's a barbecue!
I have no idea. But that was the 24 cliffhanger that Jack is being taken to China. So the first episode of next season, we'll see how he gets out of it, because they'll be on to new things.
What people don't know, next season is co-starring Jackie Chan and directed by Brett Ratner.
Awesome! I am totally there.
24 Rush Hours, it's going to be called.
24 Rush
what
Hours.
What the hell did you just say?
It's true. I know. I heard that Chris Tucker was very upset about not being included, but it's true.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
All right, stop it.
Drop the gun.
Now this is podcasting.